Power Sports Worldwide, Monday to Friday weekdays.
All right, we're going to begin, and I know a lot of you nyayilandele cricket, and there's also been a couple of things that have really caught us off hand here. As you know, when was it? Yesterday, the T20 SA auction had been the talking point of the day. There's one gentleman by the name of Uthemba Bavuma who's going to be leading the Proteas at the T20 World Cup in Australia next month. I mean, he was the headline non-signing of the inaugural SA20 auction. I mean, he was called upon to the bidding table on two occasions, but no team was willing to spend $850,000 on Bavuma's base price. Another Proteas traveling member to the T20 World Cup in Australia who was not selected at the auction was the all-rounder U-Andile Phehlukwayo. And he was also among the most expensive purchases at the Mzansi Super League auction a couple of years ago. But his base price of 850,000 rand was seen to be too steep this time around. And amongst some of the people that we're going to be calling upon to help us understand all of this, because I don't, and I think a lot of South Africans don't, and in terms of this bidding process and its criteria, firstly, I'm joined by the former Cricket SA board member, Umpile Ramela, who joins me on the line. Umpile, good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Sure.
Yeah, man, it's been a while, and what a time to welcome you back onto the airwaves. Just firstly, though, what's been your overall impression post the auction that happened yesterday?
I think at a high level, Rob, I must agree with your sentiment that it is very puzzling that the national captain was not bidded for in the inaugural auction. I think that really left a sour taste in what seemed to have been a decent day at the office for SA20, because I think there were some exciting signings, there were some interesting players that were bought. I think Tristan Stubbs should have stolen the headlines for the right reasons, because he is an exciting talent. But I think this move by none of the teams signing Kemba is really left many people puzzled. But I also think it really points out to the deeper systemic issues around how we approach cricket in this country and how we approach sport, and the lack of transformation and the lack of urgency when it comes to issues of transformation.
I mean, it couldn't have been more glaring, though, Umpile, in terms of the omission. It can be an omission of anybody but your captain and somebody that's meant to be leading us just a couple of weeks down the line.
Rob, I think it is really an indictment on the leadership of Cricket South Africa. I think if you look around the world, other T20 leagues, they are very strategic when it comes to these leagues about looking after local talent and sending a message to the world about what they believe about themselves as a country. I think we've simply said we don't believe in our captain. We don't believe in black players in general, because if you look also across the teams, there's only about, I think, 6 black African cricketers. Yet, constitutionally, CSA is required by South African law, actually, to have 3 players on the field of play. So this league, already from the start, makes you question, why has transformation been suspended for this league? What's the motive? It can't be that there's anything involved, then transformation becomes almost an afterthought, you know? And the other thing I can raise with you in that line is that also, if you look at the league, there's no intention behind youth development. If you look at other leagues around the world, they will stipulate that under 23s must be in a squad at least 2, right? Because that has the future in mind. So our league, I don't think we are extremely intentional about what we're trying to achieve. And that seems to me the standout point, where we should have been very clear about the way forward. We should have at least contracted every team, the 17 slots, 3 black Africans across the slot. It does speak more positively than having just, I think, 6 at the moment.
But why do you think there was almost a resistance from the onset of transformation?
Well, I think most people, if you look, people are arguing that there's merit, that players don't deserve to be there because the strike rates are low and the market forces have spoken. I think that's wholly false, because actually, if you look at there weren't any Pakistani players in our league, and that's largely a political decision. It's got nothing to do with merit. they are some of the most exciting T20 players in the world. So I think here, if you look at African players, they were excluded because it's easy to always exclude black cricketers in South Africa. It's not. It's always the default decision that you can make. The system always tends to say, maybe not him, rather than actually always giving black players the benefit of the doubt and the opportunity and the exposure to actually showcase their talent.
You know, but until, you know, how long though, Mpila? Because, you know, in a different hat, we've spoken about this. And, you know, it rubs certain people the wrong way, which really doesn't matter. Ours is not to give, you know, wonderful, perfect massages. Others, you know, our role is to really test what is going on in society. And I even go back to, you know, there was an article that was written by Busiso Mjikele. So as far back as the 26th of July, where the headline of that story in News 24 was about no transformation targets in the new T20 league, players voice concerns, Cricket SA comfortable with decision. So this is 26th of July. We right now are in September, which is now when it's happening. And already then, so it's not a case of being reactive, Ombile. So you get where I'm coming from, is that even then it was flagged as a big, big headline, but already then Cricket SA were, in inverted commas, comfortable.
Rob, if I can add to that, I think I also wrote to the CEO around the same time, asking him questions around, one, the legitimacy of this tournament. If you look at the process at which how the company was formed between CSA and SA20, I asked him what was, because there must be a public process, because Cricket South Africa is a public institution. Mm. So that you can't just get into a partnership with anybody. If you want to be in a partnership with Marawa Sports Worldwide, you actually have to then open a public process to say, we need to issue an expression of interest for this process, and then see if there are any, if there's anyone in the market more competitive. That's one. Mm-hmm. The other part is what you're mentioning now about targets are actually mandated legally. So for CSA to come out and say they're comfortable, what they are basically saying is that we can break the law, we are comfortable with that, mm-hmm. right? Because this is not a, it's not a feel good. We need to actually move away from this thing when we're discussing transformation and quotas as if it's our still-good endeavor. This thing has been it's been legislated, it's the law, and people must abide by the law. Even the investors, if you tell investors that these are the laws which you have to play by, they make a decision that we bring our money here and then take it elsewhere, and we must actually live with that. That's our country cannot be sold to the highest bidder to say no. For this condition, we suspend the law. And I think Usbu, what he said, needs to have gotten more public attention. And I think CSA has gotten into a habit that when it comes to these issues that involve money, they are happy to say, no, we are comfortable with it. It's actually, it's illegal to be uncomfortable with lawlessness. And I think if there's any integrity, they will actually say what process was followed in the partnership they formed with Super Sport. Secondly, why have they deviated from the law? What exemption did they get? Did they go to Parliament? Did they go to SASCOC? What permits them to just decide and wake up? Because this can happen in other public institutions. It means that ESCOM can just decide that, you know what, you're not going to follow BEE processes. You're just going to hire as you please. And because there's an emergency or whatever the case may be, right? Mm. So we need to be very careful as a society. We are drifting towards lawlessness, and we are condoning it because speaking out, people will say, no, this comes with consequences. We cannot condone lawlessness, and Cricket South Africa must be actually held accountable. They must explain themselves. Why were the transformation targets abandoned in this process? Government must be the first. Government actually, through the Minister of Sports, must hold them accountable and get a clear explanation and get a legitimate one. You can't just say, no, we felt. Your feelings are not important. There are laws. Let's abide by the laws. And I think that's fair play for everyone.
Yeah, I think obviously with the one about the Minister of Sport, I don't even think this has reached his table. I don't even think that this is something that he would be aware of, because there would be something that would have come out. I mean, here we are. It's already at the end of business day on a Tuesday. This happened yesterday. And I think all major role players, let alone a ministry that is supposed to carry out government duties on behalf of its citizens, has even issued anything to do with what has happened here. Because, I mean, I look back again on Peter to what, 2017.
Yes.
And then, yes, that whole tournament didn't go ahead. But there were 19 black African players amongst the team that, you know, the draft took place at that particular stage. So what has changed now? Because if then, in 2017, there were 19. And now it's...
That is significant regress. It shows how intentional the system has been in actually pushing black cricketers out. Because you can't move from having 19 cricketers that were able to compete in what was actually supposed to be South Africa's biggest competition, actually was probably geared to be at the same level as this competition, right? But now we've gone backwards, and not just, we've gone backwards by almost threefold, because now we had 19, we're now at 6. You know, so I think there are serious issues on the table that need to be unpacked by all the stakeholders, actually. And in the interest of the game, in the interest of protecting the sport in this country, and in the interest of ensuring that sport does reach the masses, because we've got a serious challenge that sports like rugby and cricket are not reaching people on the ground. They're not reaching the masses in South Africa.
Yeah, and I just want to invite people to do send us their WhatsApp voice notes if they've been following this particular story and they do have some contribution that they can make, because a lot of these things are not making any sense whatsoever. And again, Mpile, you'd be in the perfect position to tell me if I am wrong with my assumption here, because it's not even an assumption. It's what I was made to believe, even as far back as 2017, that this particular tournament was made for young black cricketers to improve and also to grow their game when playing in these global tournaments. So if that was the imperative, if that's what it was sold on, then surely you were misleading people, as cricketers say, if that is what the basis of it all was. And here we are, 2022, and you don't even live by those prescripts.
I can't quite recall exactly what the mandate was, but I would have. I think you'd be quite right, Rob, to say the strategic intent behind that competition was to give young cricketers, black and white actually, exposure to playing with some of these international stars, because that's how you grow. You know, I had the benefit of playing with guys like Kieran Pollard when I was young in my cricket career, and I can tell you that makes a huge difference to your level of confidence, to your ability to play, and so forth. But I think here we have almost moved away, and because I think this is not just in cricket. If you look in our society in general, it has become okay for institutions to neglect transformation. Transformation is no longer squarely at the center of the table when it comes to boardroom, whether it's in corporate, whether it's in the sports fraternity. We have almost said no, it's an afterthought, you know, and it has not been the mandate, the driver of saying, how do we socially transform and integrate our society? We've moved away from those pillars. We are almost pushing an agenda that is actually looking to suppress black people. And I think sport sharply brings that whole conversation that's happening in all spheres of this country into the public domain.
I would even comfortably say to you, Ompile, and I would have no regrets of what I'm about to say to you, and that is Cricket South Africa has sold its soul for this T20 competition, and probably almost even sold its soul to the role that a super sport has to play in it.
It has suspended, I think you're using the right words, very strong, in that it has neglected its mandate that it derives from government, which is largely a developmental, to grow the game and to transform the sport, right? But if you look even deeper in terms of when you speak of selling the soul, Rob, you would know that in sports, one of the biggest contributors to developing sports is the broadcast rights. This potential conflict between SuperSport being a service provider and a shareholder, nobody wants to speak about it with the necessary level of integrity to say what conflict of interest does this pose, and will CSA be able to get its due return? Because at the heart of sports business is the broadcast rights and the television rights, the image rights, and all those things. That's what brings in really big revenues for sporting teams and sporting organizations. Now that you have a service provider as a shareholder, how does this impact the growth? And how much sway does CSA have in saying, this is what we want this product to go for, and we want that all that revenue to come to the organization so that we can fund the development of cricket. And unfortunately, because that level of detail is not on the table and it's not in the public domain, we are not in a position to make a fair judgment, but we are left with speculation that it looks like Cricket South Africa has sold out on its mandate, which is largely that of a transformational organization, an organization that looks after the public interest rather than the interest of the private sector.
And there's no way of curbing that, though, because surely they would have thought of this. They wouldn't have just walked in this very blindly. I mean, I look at a further indictment here on Bile is within the coaching staff for the six teams. I mean, there's a very strong influence that's there. I look at Lance, I think Mandla's there, Robbie's there, Dale Beckenstein, Graham Ford, Hashim, there's Albie, there's JP. These are people that understand the dynamics from a South African perspective. These are people that would know even before Cricket SA would tell them anything. They would know because of their journey in this country. So why is it that this, according to them, they couldn't even make it a prerogative to bid for black African players?
I think that question would be best answered by them, you know, in that they would have to account for that fully. But you would have expected actually them at the center to be driving those decisions. But in terms of the team composition, because I don't think as a coach you would yourself make that decision, because you've got your owner, you've got your manager, and that whole team combination of people that are actually driving this decision-making process. But I think a fair one day is for the coaches to answer for themselves. But I do agree that you would have expected that there would be more a transformational agenda that's put on the table and that is actually delivered, you know. And I think we mustn't shy away from this thing that if couldn't even look after the national, we have a serious problem. Our messaging is poor. We are actually, before we even go to a World Cup, which is a month or so away, we are putting ourselves in a position where we are open for criticism as a team before we even land for the competition. It's really, and I think that's something that has to be addressed by the leadership of Cricket South Africa. And I wouldn't buy the story of market forces, which is the story that they run to, that the teams had their own lateral way of making decisions. You have a lot of South African coaches. Some of these things are just strategic. They are in the national interest.
Sure. You know, the more you talk about this, I'm really, really shook. Bill, I won't even lie to you. It's a part of the game where you talk about Cricket SA coming through and answering for themselves. Trust me. And you know how we work here. We basically always try to leave no stone unturned. We have reached out to Cricket SA in terms of the CEO. We have reached out in terms of the board, the chair. We have reached out, and apparently they're all going to be locked up in a meeting at this very hour that we are chatting. So whether that meeting is on or not, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And it's not for me to go searching adults to see in their boardrooms if they are having meetings or not. I think that they know their duty is to be accountable and to be accountable to South African citizens. There are kids that are going to these multiracial schools. There are kids that are seeing themselves even at times being forced to play this game of cricket because there is no option, there is no football. They have to play rugby, cricket, and nothing else. And yet here we are fighting the battles, man, of the former cricket players that had to go to the SJN hearings and fight the same fight. But we're in 2022. There should be more enabling forces that are there to make this a less painful journey. And yet we find ourselves again here, Mpile, almost drawing the battle lines for the same battles, but under a different kind of leadership that we thought would be there for all South Africans.
That's certainly what we thought, and we would have hoped for that. I think what people mustn't miss in this discussion, Rob, is that we actually want cricket to work. We want a thriving sporting ecosystem. But we also want a fair sporting ecosystem that recognizes that where people actually feel included. You know, and I think that's been our biggest challenge as a sport. We are just failing to create a fair system where people can be recognized for what they do and they can stop being others, right? And the other thing I think we haven't touched on in this discussion, which is important, is that if you look at CSA, when you speak about abandoning processes, the commissioner himself, who's the commissioner of this SA T20 league, was the person arranging and setting up this league while he was the director of cricket. He then moves on to become the commissioner of the league without any process. Now, the question is, was there a potential conflict of interest? Of course, it's just that glaring. You can't just work for this company, set up a new company, and then all of a sudden go hit that company without a process. And these are public institutions. You know, if it's your father's business, it's much easier. But this is a public institution. It accounts to Parliament. It accounts to SASCOC and the Ministry of Sport. So it has to be held accountable at that level. It can't just be left to make the rules the way it sees fit. It must be governed properly so that, one, we know that the process that people are subjected to, they are fair processes, and the people that win on the other side, they deliver the best product.
All right, Ompil, I'm going to ask you to stay on hold. I'll come back and I'll conclude our conversation. Let me take you back to the auction as I come back and I resume and conclude my conversation with Ompile.
For Tristan Stubbs, 8.6 million, 8.7 million, still MI Cape Town, 8.8 million, 8.9 million, R9 million is bid, 9.1 million, 9.1 million, 9.2 million. Sunrise's bid now at 9.2 million against MI Cape Town. You're out. Sold. Well done. Congratulations.
You're the story, my friend. That's a lot of money suddenly.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm still shaking.
Interesting place for you to go and play. Do you enjoy playing at PE?
Yeah, I do. I've played most of my cricket there at St. George's. So, I really, really enjoy playing cricket there.
Obviously, that was the big, big story, though, you know, with Tristan. I know, Ompile, you did make mention of him. Was that something you expected?
I did actually expect Tristan Stubbs. Since he's come onto the scene, he's just got that extra spark. He's got the X factor in terms of T20. And I think it was last season when he was playing, I actually thought that he would actually be signed up even in the IPL, because he's got the ball striking ability, and I think he deserves what this opportunity, he deserves what he's gotten. And that's the nature of bids. You know, they can be extremely rewarding if you're on the right side of the bid, but they can also be quite brutal, as we've seen, as we've also discussed, the brutality of these bids at times, you know.
But the amount, though, that seemed to be, I mean, I looked at the other amounts and I looked at the kind of players that they were. Yeah, I've got to say, but, you know, it is what it is. But for you, sure, I think we were all excited about what would happen and wishing that it does happen for him, given what is accomplished. But was the amount pretty much where you thought it would land?
It wasn't where I thought it would land. It was a surprise. But also with what I've seen in terms of auctions, people also take a risk, because if a team desperately believes in a player, the bid process actually pushes its price beyond the price point that you might have imagined, you know. But I think he is definitely, if you're looking at young, exciting talent, he's definitely one of those players where he was always going to get anything above 5 and 6 million rand, you know. And I think you can see there were two teams that desperately wanted him, and that just kept them pushing the price up. You know, and he is an exciting talent. And I think with T20, you always need that new dimension, something that can surprise players, something that can surprise the opposition, you know. And given his ball-striking ability, I think he will definitely, one hopes he'll make a good impression at this tournament.
All right, Wendy Lemtana on Twitter says the development of cricket goes hand in hand with transformation to promote fairness and expose talent of black African players. That cricket has been active on grassroots where we see more black players and more black talent flourish, but biases deprive them to be seen. He also goes on to say that CSA is still unrehabilitated to recognize the black child talent, because they boast about money to advance their own interest in someone's expense. Also talks about the transformation in cricket, supposed to be the lifeblood to improve our game, and that would improve the inequality of the game itself. Marawa Sports Worldwide.
And also Safa CEO Teboho Mokate
joins us. So we'll continue with some of the issues that we've spoken about here, including what happened on the show last night, and we'll get a sense of that. But I know that there was a clip that came through. I would love to put that before we say goodbye to you, Ompile, from Teboho. Just, you know, he's relating to what we're chatting about. A lot of people are obviously very, very unhappy about this. But do you see, though, from where you are watching it all unfold, that the powers that are in position, and in position of cricket, to be specific, that they would be happy with this, that they would have looked at Monday and seen nothing wrong and gone out to have a wonderful party and talk about its success?
I think the public response would have actually shocked them, because if they were happy initially, I think Spoo raised this red flag early on, like you said, in July. I wrote to the CEO asking similar questions, that how are we safeguarding the integrity of this process? Is transformation on the table? And so there was no surprises that these things were going to happen and these questions were coming. But what they didn't expect is that the national T20 captain would not even feature. And I think that actually shows the poverty of leadership, the inability to actually guide cricket in this country. And I think they've got a lot to answer for as a leadership, you know. And I think if you look at the fact that they're not even adhering to the law, they're comfortable with it being a very non-transformational league, that should be a problem. You know, you can't have a public institution saying they are okay to be non-transformed, they are okay not to put transformation at the center of their developmental goals, at the center of their business, you know, when it is squarely their mandate that they enjoy through the Department of Sport.
Okay, let's get Teboho.
I think Cricket South Africa continuously misses the opportunity to restore our confidence as South Africans in the manner in which they administer cricket in the country. Because every given opportunity, Rob, it seems like they are deviating from their sole mandate. They are saving their own interests, not particularly being mindful of the country and the developmental agendas that need to be put forward in this country. And for me, Rob, that is a very sad indictment. And I believe that all these commissions that have been put forward to address issues in cricket are not serving any purpose, but it's just a lip service. I think Advocate Bernard Mwepe was very direct in some of the things, but it seems like we have gotten hundred steps backwards, Rob. And I think this needs attention from the government and all the stakeholders to address all the shenanigans that are happening in cricket, Rob. Thank you so much, Teboho.
Teboho, thank you so much. You agree, Ompile?
I think that's a very neat summation of what we've discussed, Rob. I think Teboho really hit the nail on the head.
What do you think the SA20 commissioner is thinking right now?
Well, I think he'll be very happy, because from the onset, they have asked him about transformation. He didn't want transformation because they believe, for some odd reason, that transformation is a hindrance. So this is definitely in line with his objective. And he said that on a numerous number of platforms. So as a commissioner, I think, to be fair, he's been open that this league will not have targets. Transformation is not at the center of it. But I think, having seen the public response, if there is an element of consciousness, he should actually feel a level of shame that in a country that is predominantly black, it's led by... He appointed Temba, by the way, as the captain.
Yeah.
So it actually, as the commissioner, he should have some sense of shame that how do I appoint someone whom the system cannot even absorb as a player? It creates a very, it just leaves one puzzled that there can't even be that level of integrity that I appointed this guy because I believed in him and I can advocate for him as a player, you know. And you would imagine that a commissioner does have influence. They can say that he was not involved in the process and it was objective, it was left to the teams. That's what they might say. But the reality is he's got a lot of influence. He appointed Temba as the national captain, but when it matters most, when there's huge money involved, that can't really materialize.
Sure. What an indictment, Ompile. I have a feeling that's not going to be the last time I chat to you. And when we last spoke about issues to do with Graham Smith, with Mark Boucher, for example, I think I earned myself a block as far as Graham Smith is. I don't know if it was an unfollow or a block, one of the two. It really doesn't matter. But the bottom line is that there was a sense of, we hear you, we get what you're saying, but we actually don't like what you're saying. So, boom, we're going to unfollow you, we're going to block you. Social media for me plays no role. I really don't care who blocks or who says whatever. The message.
If I can interject there, Rob.
Yeah.
You know, the thing of people who hold public positions and thinking they can just decide that because Rob asked me tough questions and I don't like him, I can therefore not actually engage him. That thing needs to be called out, because it's people using their mechanisms to abscond their responsibility.
Absolutely.
If you want to be in public space, you must actually man up and be able to confront issues. It doesn't matter even if you are the subject. Like you occupy an important position of public power and of public influence. And that level of accountability is needed in this country. Nobody can just be shielded because they don't like me.
You know, I can just squeeze in, and I'm glad you raised this as I head into the break, is that you, if you adopted the same approach, Ompile, you have no reason today to be chatting to you because of the hard time that I gave you in your previous position within cricket. You would have no business. You'd be saying, Robert, who? No, thank you. I don't want to chat to that guy. And you would adopt the same principle.
I agreed. But I was in a public position. I had the responsibility to account. Tough as it may be, that's what comes with those positions. You must be able to man up and deal with the issues as they are brought forward to the table.
I appreciate you and I respect you. Thank you so much, Ompile Ramele, the former Cricket SA board member, joining us right here on hashtag MSW. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back, though, as we take the issue forward.